He did us all.
Welcome. You are listening to the Audio Information Network of Colorado. This recording is intended to be used solely by individuals with barriers to print.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for the March 16, 2022 reading of the Environment Program. My name is Karen Wheeler, and today we will be reading the following main articles. Magpies outwitted scientists by helping each other remove tracking devices. Written by Dominique Putvin for the online newsletter The Conversation. Endangered bat not seen in 40 years found in Rwanda. Reported by the Conservation Desk at the Agence France-Presse in Kigali and reprinted on the World Wildlife Federation website. Essay, The Story of Gosling Sandhill, written by William Rowan for the March 2022 issue of Natural History Magazine. And of course, if we have time, following up with miscellaneous articles. First up, magpies have outwitted scientists by helping each other remove tracking devices. Written by Dominique Potvin for The Conversation. When we attached tiny backpack-like tracking devices to five Australian magpies for a pilot study, we didn't expect to discover an entirely new social behavior rarely seen in birds. Our goal was to learn more about the movement and social dynamics of these highly intelligent birds and to test these new, durable, and reusable devices. Instead, the birds outsmarted us. As our new research paper explains, the magpies began showing evidence of cooperative rescue behavior to help each other remove the tracker. While we're familiar with magpies being intelligent and social creatures, this was the first instance we knew of what showed this type of seemingly altruistic behavior. Helping another member of the group without getting an immediate, tangible reward. As academic scientists, we're accustomed to experiments going awry in one way or another. Expired substances, failing equipment, contaminated samples, an unplanned power outage. These can all set back carefully planned research by months or even years. For those of us who study animals, and especially behavior, unpredictability is part of the job. This is why we often require pilot studies. Our pilot study was one of the first of its kind. Most trackers are too big to fit on medium to small birds, and those that do typically have very limited capacity for data storage or battery life, or they tend to be single use only. A novel aspect of our research was the design of the harness that held the tracker. We devised a method that didn't require birds to be caught again to download precious data or to reuse the small devices. We trained a group of local magpies to come to an outdoor ground feeding station that could either wirelessly charge the tracker's battery, download the data, or release the tracker and harness by using a magnet. The harness was tough, with only one weak point where the magnet could function. To remove the harness, one needed that magnet or a pair of really good scissors. The design was exciting, opening up many possibilities for efficiency and the collection of a lot of data. We wanted to see if the new design would work as planned and discover what kind of data we could gather. How far did the magpies go? Did they have patterns or schedules throughout the day in terms of movement and socializing? How did age, sex, or dominance, rank, affect their activities? All this could be uncovered using the tiny trackers, which weigh less than 1 gram. We successfully fitted 5 of the magpies. Then we only had to wait, watch, and then lure the birds back to the feeding station to gather the valuable data. Many animals that live in societies cooperate with one another to ensure the health, safety, and survival of the group. In fact, cognitive ability and social cooperation has been found to correlate. Animals living in larger groups tend to have an increased capacity for problem-solving, such as hyenas, spotted wrasse, and house sparrows. Australian magpies are no exception. As a generalist species that excels in problem-solving, it has adapted well to the extreme changes to their habitat by humans. Generally, Australian magpies live in social groups of between 2 and 12 individuals, cooperatively occupying and defending their territory through song choruses and aggressive behaviors such as swooping. They also breed cooperatively with older siblings, serving to help raise the young. During our pilot study, we discovered how quickly magpies team up to solve a group problem. Within 10 minutes of fitting the final tracker, we witnessed an adult female without a tracker working with her bill to remove the harness from a younger bird. Within hours, most of the other trackers had been removed. By day 3, even the dominant male of the group had its tracker successfully dismantled. We don't know if it was the same individual helping the others, or if they shared duties, but we had never read about any other bird cooperating in this way to remove tracking devices. The bird's problem solved, possibly testing at pulling and snipping at different sections of the harness with their bill. They also had to willingly help other individuals and accept help in return. When we attached the tiny backpack-like tracking devices to these 5 Australian magpies in our pilot study, we didn't expect to discover an entirely new social behavior rarely seen in birds. Our goal was to learn more about the movement and social dynamics of these highly intelligent birds and to test the new devices. The only other similar example of this type of behavior we found in the literature was that of the Seychelles warblers, helping release others in their social group from sticky Pisonia seed clusters, a very rare behavior termed rescuing. So far, most bird species that have been tracked haven't necessarily been very social or considered to be cognitive problem solvers, such as waterfowl and raptors. We never considered the magpies might perceive the tracker as a kind of parasite that requires removal. Tracking magpies is crucial for conservation efforts, as these birds are vulnerable to the increasing frequency and intensity of heat waves under climate change. In a study published this week, Perth researchers showed the survival rate of magpie chicks in heat waves can be as low as 10%. They also found that higher temperatures resulted in lower cognitive performance for tasks such as foraging. This might mean that cooperative behaviors are even more important in a continuously warming climate. Just like magpies, we scientists are always learning to problem solve. Now we need to go back to the drawing board to find ways of collecting more vital behavioral data to help magpies survive in a changing world. Endangered bat not seen in 40 years found in Rwanda. Hill's horseshoe bat, which conservationists feared was extinct, was discovered clinging to life in Nyungwe Forest. A critically endangered species of bat not seen in 40 years has been found in Rwanda, with the incredible discovery delighting conservationists who had feared it was already extinct. But the Hill's horseshoe bat was in fact still clinging to life in Rwanda's Nyungwe Forest, a dense rainforest, the consortium behind the discovery said. There had been no information on the population of the mammals, and the International Union for Conservation of Nature, or IUCN, in 2021 listed them as critically endangered. Rediscovering the lost species was just incredible, John Flanders, director for Bat Conservation International, said in a statement on Tuesday, March 8. It's astonishing to think that we're the first people to see this bat in so long. The Texas-based nonprofit had partnered with the Rwanda Development Board and the Rwanda Wildlife Conservation Association to conduct surveys in the jungle beginning in 2013. In 2019, after a 10-day expedition scouring the caves in the forest, the scientists found the bat. We knew immediately that the bat we'd captured was unusual and remarkable, BCI's chief scientist Winifred Frick said. The facial features were exaggerated to the point of comical, but it took them another 3 years to verify its species. The creatures of the night have long been infamous as fanged monsters or vectors of disease, with the coronavirus pandemic doing little to improve that image after scientists said COVID-19 probably originated in the animals. From the tiny 2-gram bumblebee bat to the giant Philippine flying fox with its 5-foot wingspan, bats make up a fifth of all terrestrial mammals. Some 40% of the 1,321 species assessed on the IUCN's Red List are now classified as endangered. Human actions, including deforestation and habitat loss, are to blame. For the researchers in Rwanda, the elusive discovery marks the beginning of a new race to save the once lost species from disappearing again. Now our real work begins to figure out how to protect this species long into the future, said Flanders. And now from the essay section of the March 2022 issue of Natural History Magazine, The Story of Gosling Sandhill, a True but Unlikely Tale, written by William Rowan. No one knows how a Canada goose egg ended up in the late spring of 2019 in a sandhill crane's nest in a marsh connected to Wildwing Lake at Kensington Metro Park in Milford, Michigan, a 4,486-acre haven for wildlife and waterfowl. Perhaps a pair of Canada geese, Branta canadensis, had begun to lay a clutch in this ideal nest site and had been driven off by a pair of sandhill cranes, Antigone canadensis, who claimed the nest for themselves. However it happened, when the egg hatched, the imprinting between gosling and mother crane was immediate and profound. The crane pair also hatched one of their own. Although the mother crane nurtured both siblings, she devoted much of her attention to the gosling, allowing her own offspring to associate more closely with the father. The family, as they were known in Michigan birding and wildlife communities, became a symbol to some of the love and devotion needed to be successful foster or adoptive parents. Others saw the crane's willingness to accept the gosling as their own as a model of tolerance worthy of emulation. Of course, the bird watchers were anthropomorphizing, but resistance was futile. Individuals in the family were given names: Mother Crane, Father Crane, their biological offspring, Colt, and Gosling. To witness the parental care for the vulnerable Gosling was as inspiring as it was remarkable. The family's daily routine included a trek through the woods to the park's golf course nearby, where they foraged until returning in the late afternoon to their nighttime nest. It was difficult to believe the short, plump, web-footed Gosling could keep pace with the nimble, long-legged cranes, but the parents walked slowly and navigated around rather than over obstructions on the woodland floor, enabling Gosling to keep up. Nearby, adult Canada geese paused to watch. When the family entered the marsh where their nest was located, Gosling's nature emerged, swimming, bobbing, and washing without prompting from the parents. But nurture was also evident. With a beak ill-suited to the task, Gosling regularly dug into the ground alongside Mother Crane in search of roots and worms, and after Father Crane killed hatchlings in a nest of red-winged blackbirds, Gosling mimicked the cranes, violently shaking a little corpse in its bill until the broken body fell apart to make consumption possible. One evening, an immense snapping turtle, measuring more than 4 feet from tip to tail, mounted an attack on the nest. Father Crane stood at the water's edge, wings outstretched menacingly, face hovering directly over the turtle's head and jaws. The crane was determined to prevent an advance by repeatedly striking the reptile's face. Mother Crane and the siblings crouched behind the father, looking oddly complacent. As darkness enveloped the standoff, observers left with heavy hearts, knowing the nocturnal snapper had the advantage because cranes sleep at night. But the next morning, the family was intact. The turtle could not penetrate the father's defense. The crane's diet of bugs and roots was healthy for both siblings, and Gosling supplemented the fare provided by its mother with grass, forest foliage, and marsh plants. As Gosling thrived, a guarded hope arose among observers that it might survive. The presence of humans during the day made attacks by predators unlikely, and the parents' ability to defend the nest was reassuring. A significant hazard was crossing a road every day to and from their foraging area. Photographers and other visitors, however, often served as crossing guards to ensure a safe passage. As the weeks passed, Gosling took on the appearance of an adult Canada goose. There was a change in his personality, too. Gosling became an aggressive protector of its family. When they exited the woods and walked the human trails near their nest, Gosling would often charge unsuspecting park visitors and bite their legs. Sandhill cranes and Canada geese intermingle freely in Michigan farm fields as migration approaches in the fall. What had begun as the only documented case of sandhill cranes adopting a bird from another genus could have taken on the appearance of a common end-of-season association. But one day, shortly after the siblings began practicing to fly, Gosling failed to return to the nest with the family. The parents had just begun bringing Colt and Gosling to an open area where they were observed practicing flying, short distances, wobbly flights. Gosling was later found lifeless on a stretch of matted down tall grass, with his body at the end of the matting, just below a large oak tree. there was no discernible evidence of external injury, attack by a predator, or being shot in this remote section of the golf course. Without a necropsy, his death is as inexplicable as his first appearance, encased in a shell 63 days earlier in the nest of two sandhill cranes. He may have had catastrophic organ failure or had a fatal crash while learning to fly. Birders who observe Canada geese commented that goslings typically practice flying on water, where a crash is a splash. They also noted that in the initial stages, goslings can veer one way or the other because they've not yet learned to control flight direction. Sandhill cranes practice flying on land, where their long legs cushion their landing. A gosling does not have this advantage. The crane parents would not have known that practicing on land was more dangerous for gosling than for colt. The fairy tale story came to a sort of Diary of Anne Frank ending, but like Anne, Gosling and the cranes left a legacy that won't soon be forgotten. By the time Gosling died, thousands of Michigan birders and wildlife enthusiasts were reading reports of the family posted online daily, and many confessed to weeping over the loss. All had marveled as the parents modeled everything humans aspire to be: courageous, devoted, resourceful, determined, tender, and, most unexpected of all, accepting of one so different from themselves. And all grieved, not just for Gosling, but for the parents, whose valiant effort came to a rather heartbreaking end. Shortly after Gosling died, Patricia Ann Comjathy, a member of the Michigan birdwatching community, wrote the following poem, with a nod to Tom Petty. Learning to fly on gosling wings, coming down is the hardest thing. Rest in peace, little gosling. You touched so many lives and landed gently in our hearts. And from the samplings column of the March 2022 issue of Natural History Magazine, Cool It, Kids. Like human parents, zebra finches often sing to their babies. They start singing to the chicks even before they're hatched. These prenatal serenades have significant impact on the health and development of avian offspring, according to recent studies. Research has revealed the effects of certain songs, known as heat calls. Adult zebra finches produce these calls when the mercury climbs above 26 degrees centigrade, a frequent condition in the Australian desert where they live. Zebra finch chicks who hear heat calls while in ovo undergo changes that allow their cells to draw energy from food more efficiently and reduce unwanted body heat after hatching. It's quite amazing that sound alone can change something so fundamental as cell functioning, said study senior author Mylene Mariette, a scientist at Deakin University in Australia and Doñana Biological Station in Spain. The researchers randomly allocated eggs from the same clutch into two incubators outfitted with speakers. The speakers in one incubator played recordings of parental heat calls, while the other did not. The baby birds who heard heat calls differed in development of their mitochondria, the subcellular powerhouse of cells. Mitochondria transform the nutrients from food into a usable form of energy called adenosine triphosphate, or ATP. In warm-blooded animals, mitochondria also transform a percentage of food's energy into body heat. That percentage heat transfer was lower in those zebra finches who had heard heat calls as embryos. Thank you for joining us for the March 16, 2022 reading of the Environment Program. My name is Karen Wheeler.